45 seconds on the clock. Hands on buzzers. Here we go. This way on the ocean. Marty.
Walk.
Right. Stroke you all night. Bo.
Stroke.
No. Stroke you all night. Up. Call so horny. Marty.
Me.
Right. Friday, I'm in stinks. Wayne.
In love.
Right. No reply at this time. Wayne.
At all?
Right. Watching the human. Watching the human. Wheels. Girls dirty to me. Marty.
Talk.
Right. Magic in the mirror. Marty.
Man.
Right. Glamorous goes on. Marty.
Life.
Right. A full belief. Our winning today, 1992. Wow. Close game. Great game.
Welcome to Random Access Television. My name's Zach, and each episode of this podcast, my co-host Nas and I watch and review a completely random TV show that is picked for us by our vintage warehouse-sized supercomputer. This week, we're brought to you by $50 Blockbuster gift cards, the universal currency of low-budget 90s game shows. This week, it's the late 90s VH1 game show My Generation, as well as, we'll get to that more later. Nas, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today, Zach. I definitely am feeling extremely 1990s minded after that very 1990s show we just watched.
It is definitely a relic of its era.
It is down to the cue card that the host is reading from is not just a cue card. It's a CD jewel case.
I did not notice that. I really should have. Well, we'll get to that all later. So normally this is the part of the show where I look into the history of it, behind the scenes gossip, careers of behind the scenes folks, the general zeitgeist of the network. I couldn't find anything interesting on the show at all. Its entire Wikipedia page was just kind of the creepy game show people, you know who you are, describing at length the exact way that the game is played.
Yep.
And that was it. I couldn't find any interviews, couldn't find any ratings. So just the basics on this one. My Generation is a game show that aired on VH1 starting on March 8th, 1998 for 48 episodes. It's hosted by a comedian, Craig Schumacher. It consisted of three rounds of music trivia, the main hook being that all the questions were about music that came out in the years the contestants graduated high school. For example, in the episode we watched, the two contestants were from 1992 and from 1980. So all questions had to do with music coming out in 1992 or 1980 only. Sometimes the questions featured clips of music videos or some little sketches in there. And on occasion, although I couldn't find one online, they do a celebrity version where it would be like rockers of the 60s versus rockers of the 90s. But in general, it was a pretty basic game show, and I've described everything that happens.
It was the most straightforward game show you could think of. And I mean, love to all the game show people out there. I have a soft spot for game shows. Not every game show I like, but the ones I do like definitely become cemented in my brain and quoted and talked about constantly.
How do you quote a game show?
A group of pill poppers. The Wheel
Family
of
Feud?
No, the Wheel of Fortune blooper reel, which I watch probably, I'm going to say once every 2 weeks. I love game show bloopers. And I doubt
there's nothing better than that.
There's really nothing better than game show bloopers. I'm going to kind of bet that this show does not really have too many bloopers available because it's only lasted like what, 2 episodes or something?
48 episodes. But since it was, I think, a striped show, that means it aired 5 days a week. That means it aired for like 2.5 months.
Right.
They probably repeated it twice and it disappeared.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, the premise of the show. So here's the thing. I love music and I love this era of music. Maybe I don't even know how to explain that exactly. I'm just oversaturated with this era of music. My parents were very, very, very into what is now known as classic rock. I grew up in the 90s. So basically every question in this show, I knew the answer to.
I did not. I am not a music person. So, I grew up saturated with it too, but not to the same degree as Nas. My dad would constantly play it, but he mm-hmm. never like sat me down and listened to it. I think the vast majority of my music knowledge comes from actually VH1 in the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's interesting.
Watching various Behind the Music and One Hit Wonder countdowns and things like that. So I know it on a trivia level,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think, I mean, it's probably been 20 years since I just sat down and listened to a whole album from beginning to end.
Wow!
And wow. even then, I didn't do it very frequently. I always did it while I was doing something else.
Uh-huh,
I am just not a music person. I have been to 5 concerts in my entire life.
Wow.
And 4 of them were Weird Al. 3 of those Weird Al concerts were within the same couple of months. And mostly because there was a girl I was kind of interested in who went to me with 2 of them.
Well, that's really sweet. I thought you were going to say you did some sort of like Deadhead style tour thing with Weird Al.
No, just coincidentally, it just happened to be that way.
But I am actually a little curious if there is some sort of Deadhead Weird Al yes. style thing. Really?
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to have to read about that.
At one of the concerts, it was in Santa Cruz. We were hanging out. We just were walking around killing time. We actually ran into Al and the band.
Oh,
and
my God.
We ran into a couple of his groupies.
Wow. Weird Owl. Weird Al groupies.
Now, he himself Whack. Doesn't have any interaction with the groupies, but some members of his band were rumored to do so, at least upon that day that I was speaking to some of them.
The sordid underbelly of the Weird Al band. I love it. I love it. Wow. Wow. That, well, yeah. I mean, and that's what's great about music. It's so multifaceted. Go ahead.
This is just one of the things that I have a complete blind spot for. I listen to music constantly, but I don't mm-hmm. like listen to music.
So
I,
funny.
Mostly these days, we'll put on something instrumental. You know, I've been really into quote unquote Dave Brubeck, Miles Davis kind of stuff. Or if I'm reading or falling asleep, I'll put on like Bach cantatas or some opera. Back in the day, I was really into Ben Folds 5, and like mm-hmm. when I was in my swinging days, I, you know, listened to a lot of trance music, which I'll also sometimes put on.
That's funny.
But I don't know the name of most of the artists, and especially since the era where you don't buy CDs anymore, I just put on like an internet radio station, and I don't know the names of any of the songs I'm listening to. I couldn't pick. I've been listening to, I mean, according to my Spotify, I listened to Dave Brubeck for like 80 hours last year. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. I don't know
That's
anything about him as a man.
Hilarious. Oh my God. You're stuck. You're very, you're in very 1973 era, like old dude. You only look at like the album that you own, but you don't know anything about them. You don't buy the magazines with the teens in it.
No, I mean, I never did. Even back when I was mostly listening to music, like I was huge into Ben Folds 5, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I couldn't have told you his middle name or his personal life. And if I started to like listen to, like if I was listening to the radio and they started to play like an interview with the artist, I would just not pay attention. I actively don't care.
Oh my God. I am throwing down my headphones and leaving because, Zach, if there was ever an opposite, okay, let me like run you through my history with music. So one of my fondest memories I have as a child is my parents used to quiz me about song lyrics on the radio. They would like, there'd be a Beatles song on and they'd say, you know, what do you think that song is about? And there was no like wrong answer. They would just, you know, tell me about the history or like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Like, oh, you know, my dad had a story about how he's a Vietnam vet and he was on the plane going over to Vietnam and someone had some sort of radio situation or something and they were playing Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. And so my parents were very into rock and roll music and lore, and they were definitely hippies. That was my complete upbringing in the 90s. I went a little gonzo with it and got really, really, really into Marilyn Manson and lots of alt, you know, your typical 90s alt bands.
That's around the time I met you, I believe. You were into, Marilyn Manson and what was it, Korean guy, Rain? Was that it? Or is that more my wife? That was more my wife.
Well, I mean, she was always more into, his wife is more into Nine Inch Nails than I am. But anyway, we just had this conversation. She and I just had this conversation, so I will not rehash it. but yeah, music's huge. My husband's a musician. We're a very musical family. Let's put it that way. So this game show was right up my alley. I love rock and roll trivia. If you ever need me on your rock and roll trivia pub quiz, I'm your man.
And I am not.
And you are not.
Although I did do pretty well in the lightning round, I gotta say. The lightning good round job. where they combine song lyrics. Y'all heard it actually described to you, but that for some reason that triggered to me in kind of a Jeopardy kind of way, just like a triggered I knew the name of songs thing.
Right.
I don't necessarily know who the artists are. There's like a lot of names of songs, names of artists, and the two sometimes meet and sometimes don't.
Right, right. That's really funny. Like that little bit, my brain does not work that fast. So I did not do that well at that part, even though like I knew the answers, but it was like just not, I could not have yelled them out randomly. I think, well, okay, there were two outstanding moments in the show for me. The first one was they played my absolute favorite Blue Oyster Cult song in video, which is Burning For You. If you haven't seen the video, I really suggest you watch it because it's fantastic. 1982 at its finest. The second thing is, which I found illuminating, I would say, and this is a very specific, so everybody can roll their eyes and be like, ah, oh, there goes Nos on one of her tangents. But so we have in culture, we have this idea that Nirvana was the biggest band ever. And in many ways, that was very true. However, this was a perfect example of how most people who just maneuvered through the world didn't really know Nirvana in the 1990s. I think for one thing, there were a lot of just like total squares, and the woman who was on show was a total square.
She looked so I felt so bad for her because not only was she the worst of the three contestants,
totally,
but she also kept getting into the higher pressure, the way that they formatted the show, there was like a slightly higher pressure like a second question, and she kept barreling into it unintentionally.
Totally. Yeah, she was a complete square. She did not know the main lyric from Nirvana's In Bloom, which I think if anyone was a Nirvana fan at that point, they would be like, how do you forget the chorus of In Bloom? Anyway, mega square. There were squares in the 90s, believe it or not.
And apparently I'm one of them because I didn't know that question either.
But again, you didn't say you were a music guy, so it's okay. It's okay. It's just a lot of people that I've known in my life who have claimed to be music people. They would also not know the answer to this question.
I mean, that's fair. It'd be like being a movie person and saying I've never seen anything in black and white or something.
There you go, my friend. There you go.
Actually, even dumber than that. It's like I've never seen anything older than me.
Exactly. 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 And also, there was a Dirk Diggler joke pre-Boogie Nights.
No, this was just... It had to have been posted.
Boogie Nights. Post Boogie Nights.
Yeah, actually, that's from the sketch part of the show, which for me, because I'm not a music person, I'm just looking for the TV production hook. That was the most interesting part, if not necessarily the best part. Let me go ahead and play a clip here. There's this Australian guy, I think, who comes out.
I think he's supposed to be fake British.
I think he's supposed to be doing Robin Leach from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but I'm not sure. Anyways, let me go play the clip. You can hear for yourself.
Time for the regent of rock and roll gossip, Larry Ligger. He's coming to us direct from 1980 with some juicy gossip. Larry, come on out here.
What are you, Dirk Diggler? What?
Dirk Diggler, you heard me.
Well, then boogie away. You want to see? You want me to prove it?
No.
Don't want to wreck the program now.
Larry's going to be trashing. You're going to be giving some dish. On a band or an artist, right? And you're going to name the band or artist.
Okay, this divine diva is a redhead, not a deadhead. And red is the color of the thorny flower. She's now playing on the silver screen. She's gorgeous in a close-up or from a distance. Will she win an Oscar? Well, it depends, because in Hollywood, you've got to have friends to puff some wind beneath your Oscar wings.
Oh, Marty, Bette Midler.
Bette Midler's absolutely right for Howard Hawks.
So the thing is from a production point of view, it was kind of similar to Remote Control. I don't know if you've ever seen that on MTV.
No, I haven't.
It was a game show a little bit earlier, about 91, 92. It had Colin Quinn and Adam Sandler. They mm-hmm. were doing sketches, like a really young Adam Sandler. And it was much more aggressive. And it also did the sketch thing. And it just in a total contrast. So MTV, late 80s, early 90s, super aggressive, super New York. Doing, you know, their own version of a game show where if you got the answer wrong at a certain point, you were sitting in an easy chair and you were literally like thrown back into the wall to disappear forever. And this had a similar format with the sketches and everything, but it was in such an anodyne VH1.
Totally.
Shania Twain kind of way, if that makes
any
sense.
Definitely. Because there's a very, very edgy, awesome British sort of version of the whole pop culture music game show called Nevermind the Buzzcocks. Mm-hmm. And Simon Amstell was the host for a long time. One of my favorite shows of all time. Absolutely hilarious. And that was very like rock and roll trivia, Britpop trivia. Well, it wasn't super hilarious. And stuff like this was definitely the bones of a show like that, but it was way edgier. And like Noel Fielding was on it, Amy Winehouse was on it, tons of Britpop rock stars were on it. Hilarious show. And this, so I know how funny these types of shows can be. This was not funny.
No.
Nor was good. It was not good.
No. No, it was. It was just such a, to me, I struggled with this one. It was such a boring game show because all it was basically pure music trivia and two lame sketches.
Totally.
The host was not bad, not good. He was just there. He didn't add or subtract anything. The most interesting thing to me was the long list of very like 1998 prizes that they gave throughout, like Blockbuster gift cards and CD-ROM games and VHS like History of the Lakers or something, like a remainder bin of VH1. It was just,
and the Panasonic VHS TV, which when I met your wife in high school she had.
Oh really?
Yes. Oh. Yes. So hilarious. But yeah, I screamed because I was like, oh my god, that's her TV, wait until I tell Zach. But show her a picture of the little Panasonic. She'll remember.
Okay.
She'll remember.
So. The TV I had around that same time, it just must have been the default because it's like an every TV show from 1998 to 2005. It was this Panasonic like 32-inch TV. And that was a TV that I had for decades. And it's in every friggin' one.
That's so funny.
But just get back to the difference between the channels. So VH1, by the way, do you know what VH1 stands for?
Video something. No, I don't know.
Video Hits One. So
okay, got it.
VH1 was started as kind of a slightly older demographic, people in their 30s and early 40s version of MTV. And also it was created because people were already in the late 80s complaining that there wasn't enough music on MTV. Mm-hmm. So we needed a second channel to play music videos. So,
oh my god.
VH1 was always kind of the more yuppie suburban version of it, and this is a more yuppie suburban version of Remote Control, which I really hope you'll watch an episode because I think you would find that
I've got it.
Very
I think I'm gonna love it. Yeah, I think I'm gonna
it's,
love it.
It's
I,
also I it. Kind of the sorry to talk over you there. It's also kind of the peak of Gen X rerun culture in a way too.
Nice.
Most of the questions are about like the Brady Bunch and 70s music. Yeah.
Oh my god. So, okay, I'm gonna love it.
I didn't find much to say about the show and was kind of dreading watching a second episode. But I found out the interesting thing. This is a remake of another short-lived game show from 1969 called The Generation Gap. This one aired in prime time for 11 weeks starting in February of 1969. It's much more a product of its time because instead of having two groups of adults competing, it was a group of three teenagers and three adults, one of which in every episode was the parent of one of the teens, and somebody in the group, whether it was one of the adults or the kids, was a celebrity of some sort. The format was different, too. Instead of the basic first on the buzzer kind of trivia contest the 90s show was, in this, a question was asked of one of the six contestants, say one of the teenagers, and then the parents would guess if the kids knew the answer, getting points if they answered correctly. And the questions were broader. They weren't specific to music, mm-hmm. but basically all of culture, fashion, slang, movies, TV, anything.
Totally.
Just like the 90s version, though, sometimes the questions would involve clips before the questions, but also live bands. That kind of surprised me.
That was killer. Yeah. That was so killer. Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy.
Yeah, in this case, yes. One for each generation. The Ohio Express singing Yummy, Yummy and Bill Kenny of the Ink Spots.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the retro 60s one?
Oh, okay. Well, so everything that was super cringe and lame about the first one, this was the complete opposite.
100%. It was
so totally groovy from yes. minute one. I would hang out with every single person on this show, and the boy who was I have no idea if you know this or not, but was Victor the boy with the afro and the mom, his mom, or was it just some random mom, because they looked exactly alike?
So the only two that were connected, there was the two, I love these two, by the way, the two of the older people, it was a teacher and a cop, and they were
right.
They both had the most New York thick Long Island accents
yes.
ever, and
yes.
it was fantastic. And then
yes.
the other more, the housewife lady.
Nancy Reagan.
She was the mother of, there was a the kid from Dark Shadows, was one of
okay.
the contestants, and the other two were just random high school kids.
Okay. Oh my God. That's hilarious. Because okay, that different read on the show. Anyway, Victor was a happening cat.
Yes.
I want to hang out with him. He was super cool. He knew Alice's restaurant. He knew the Abby Hoffman and the Yippies. Like, I want to hang out with you, Victor. I don't know where you are, but let's, if you're still alive, let's get coffee.
He had a Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees haircut.
And yes.
Brown suede suit.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I enjoyed this show a hell of a lot more than
so
the 90s
much,
version.
So much more. When the they did a little segment where the host tried to stump the square parents, and they brought out this dude in like an Afghan fur wrap with like huge flares and sunglasses. I literally screamed. I loved this outfit so much. I was just like,
and the cop especially knew that, what was it, Elephant Bells or something?
Elephant Bells, yeah.
That was the name of the shoe or
yeah, the pants. It's just, yeah, flares, bell bottoms, like, yeah. And it was so cute. Like, the cop was adorable. He was like, that's his trousers that he's wearing. He was so cute. And yeah, just absolutely just a darling show. At one point, one of my favorite things is they had they were advertising, not advertising, but sort of asking one of the questions about these certain psychedelic posters on the mm-hmm. wall, and they were like, what artist is this? Well, I knew right away it was Peter Max, one of my favorite artists of all time. He did yeah, super psychedelic, if you saw it you would know it,
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of art
totally
type thing. And yeah, and I was just like, oh my God, not only would that entire wall be worth like tens of thousands of dollars today, it was amazing. I was just screaming through the whole thing. I loved this.
Yeah, it was a great show. And not just because they mentioned Mr. Peepers, my favorite sitcom of the 1950s.
Mr. Peepers! Tony Randall can get this.
He's great on that show. I hope it randomly pops up on our list one of these days.
I hope so, too.
It's funny because even though it was older, it had so much more energy. It
so
had
much more.
So much more life to it. Even if the questions were really dated, like, I'm going to go ahead and play the clip from my favorite part here. There was a question, if this puts you into perspective, that it's 1969. The question was about draft deferments and what's draft deferment you are if you are blank. I'll go ahead and play the clip. Nas, I think, has something to say afterwards.
There's no wonder she never got married, huh? Okay, Mr. Don Levy, to you right now. A subject of special interest to young men is the subject of the draft. If you're classified 1A, everybody knows that you're on your way. However, if you're deferred for college, you have a different status. And we'd like a prediction right now from the younger generation. Can Mr. Don Levy tell us the draft classification, which covers more than 2 million students in the country today? Yes or no? Can he tell us? Aha, Vic says no. Sue and David say yes. So, two out of the three say you can do it. Mr. Don Levy, how about it?
I believe he's classified 2Y.
2Y? I don't even have that on this card I have here. Actually, it's 2S for college deferment. Let me see. What do you think your classification is, Mr. Don Levy?
My classification right now?
Yeah.
Father of three, lost in the crowd.
Well, yeah, I guess you could be either 3A, that's somebody with children, or 5A, which is over age.
I absolutely have something to say about this. This was the only part of the show that, like, I could feel my heart sinking in my chest. I mean, this, all these parents and this host were sitting there like, oh, if you get drafted, this is, you know, what jurisdiction you'll be in or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh my God, you're, like, I don't know if these kids, one of these kids may have died in Vietnam. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the Victor kid, he was 17. This is 69.
He very well may could have. And
if he
then
got a college deferment, he probably wouldn't have gone unless he volunteered. So hopefully he did.
I hope that they are all safe.
Just realized he was the exact same age as my dad was.
Yeah, yeah.
Who also got a college deferment and then stopped going to college the second they stopped sending draftees to Vietnam. So
my dad was not so lucky. Yeah. but anyway, despite this question that in retrospect was way too light of a question, or way too heavy of a question for this light show.
There were some heavy, weird questions in there, like, you know, the district attorney of
New Orleans.
It's like, who? I'm sure that was in the news at the time, but I...
No, that's true. There were some. Well, it was really funny because you could tell that the teacher who was answering, she was very into New York politics.
Yes.
And she wanted to answer about New York.
Yeah. You know what's really funny about her? I was looking at the YouTube comments on this. And by the way, you can find the YouTube links in our Random Access Television YouTube playlist. You can search for it on YouTube, or we'll have a link in the description down below. Both of the episodes in there. Anyways, you can find the comment was from was like, oh, she was my 7th grade social studies teacher.
So cute. So cute. I love when people put comments like that in YouTube. I'm hoping they're all real, because I'm sure sometimes they're not, but whatever.
Well, also related to that, the first one we watched, the contestant Marty, the guy in the far right, he was the one that uploaded the episode that he was in.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm sorry, Marty. You're kind of a square, but I appreciate that you did that for us. And you didn't know the Morrissey question.
No, but he did. He did kick total ass in that lightning round. And
he did. Well, the girl did know Los Lobos, which I was like, okay. Okay.
Well,
clever.
That's more of a square kind of band. You know, that was a big big top 40 hit. It wasn't exactly playing on the alternative charts. So.
Exactly. There you go. There you go. But anyway, RIP, they did not know the Morrissey albums.
Yeah, I just had lots of fun with this. Also, the version on YouTube had ads from 1969.
Yes, yes, more detergent ads.
It was interesting because it was a few years after everything on primetime went to color, but two of the ads were still in black and white.
Oh, good point. I was wondering about that. I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. That's in black and white still.
I don't believe everything on the networks went to color until 72, roughly.
Interesting.
It was some daytime and news shows were the last to go. Some of the soaps and I believe the news, weirdly, was one of the last ones to go. But
Interesting. Okay, that's very cool. Yeah, there weren't really any standout ads. They were kind of your very typical 60s fare. You know, as usual, which is super cute with game shows at this time. You know, it's live, I'm assuming. Yeah, and so of course there's like the little slip-ups that the host makes sometimes. Like at one point he made some really dumb joke and nobody really got it, and so he like kind of caught himself really quickly. I love stuff like that. It's super cool. I wish shows were less strict about editing these days.
Yeah. I do like also the one point the Love and Spoonful does their number and they lose not the Love and Spoonful.
You were thinking of Love in My Tummy?
Right. Well, this is related. It was the Ohio Players, Lovin' You is the lyric that they actually, so they sing, they sing the song and then they stop, they don't say two words. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, it was Lovin' You. And then after the end, they asked, you know, all the kids, like, do you think this housewife's going to know what words were in there? And then they asked the band, do you think she'll know what the words were? And they're off mic like, nah, I don't think so.
Nah, this lady, this Nancy Reagan here is such a square.
She's not going to figure out that the only thing that rhymes is lovin'.
But then she got it.
Did she?
She got it.
Oh, yeah,
she,
yeah, yeah.
She did. And Victor was like, he was all like sitting back and like, very impressive. Because so the Dark Shadows kid voted no. The girl voted no. But Victor thought that she was going to get it.
I suspect that if you go back into that show, Victor would have been right almost every single time.
I was watching him pretty closely because I liked him a lot. And he was right on almost everything.
He had a coolness to him.
Definitely.
So it looks like it's time to get to our ratings for this. We use the North American A to F system. None of those E's like you freaky UK people. Let's go with you here first. What did you think of My Generation?
Okay, well, the first episode, the 90s episode, that's like a C-. It was pretty lame. It was pretty cringe, pretty middle of the road boring, honestly.
On a high quality point, on just an objective 20,000 feet level, yeah, C-.
C-.
But it was about music. I didn't like it at all. I'm going to give it a D-.
Yeah, exactly. I bumped it to the C- because it's about music,
right?
And I could answer all the questions.
If this was a TV trivia one, it would have got a C- from me.
exactly. But as far as the second episode, boy, I don't know if I'd quite give it an A, except for that outfit that they had halfway through. This was a B+, though. This was really solid.
Yeah.
Solid show.
I might actually go and look. It only lasted 11 weeks for some reason, but
yeah.
Who knows? TV is weird. I might go actually out and look for some of the other ones. It's just kind of a fun no-brainer. And go figure, even though this was a 50-year-old game show with questions about things that were old even for them, I got way more of those than I got from 98.
I got
one.
Most of these right, too, except for the weird local political stuff, which I'm like, nah.
Yeah, it was surprisingly New York. Even the host had a little bit of a New York accent to him.
He also had a cute little monkey's haircut thing going.
Yeah.
It's very like Beatlemania.
He himself had already chosen one of the two generations, apparently. So let's fire up our supercomputer. Hold on. It's having some problems. Oh, I got to restart it. Oh, sometimes it's like an old Nintendo. You just got to kick it to make it work. There it goes.
Blow on it.
Yeah, you've got to pull the punch cards out one by one and blow on them individually.
Make sure the hanging Chad isn't there.
Exactly. You're joking. I'm not joking. All right. It has spit out. Hey, this might be actually the most popular show that we've done yet. No, let me change that. Hey, this might be, well, the most acclaimed show we've ever done.
Oh.
And the only one that I am currently watching.
Oh.
It is the medical drama from the 80s, Saint Elsewhere.
Yay!
It is currently streaming on Hulu. So we'll go ahead and put that out there. It's on Hulu. And we'll see you in a fortnight. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Random Access Television. And if you haven't already, please remember to subscribe to us on Apple and Spotify podcasts. We also love to read reviews, so go ahead and leave us one. You can find us at RATVPod, that's RATVPOD at twitter.com. And if you have questions, complaints, compliments, recipes, email us at ratvpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Bye-bye.